And any opposition? And abstention? Everybody voted? Okay.
I voted.
Yeah, okay. So that's unanimous. It's now 11 o'clock. I know there are several people. Thank you.
This is KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno, KPFK in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, RadioForHouston.org, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, and the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C.
To move the agenda, to move on to the bylaws.
30 seconds, tight. Just boom, boom, boom.
30 seconds total?
30 seconds each.
Eight. All right, we're going to do 30 seconds, and in fact, I would like the guy who's listening up there in the mic, you know, I don't know who's controlling the sound, right, when I say time, just cut off the mic. I mean, that's what we got
to
do here. Okay.
Oh. We don't have to do that.
Okay, we realized that the civil rights movement got us to the beginning of it, but that regarding women and disabilities, that we need to, what we learn talking about race can apply later in these other areas, but that we haven't ever really come together as a people and to really face these things. We've just begun, and so we need to do the next stage now.
Okay, thank you. That was a model of 25 seconds.
my name is Max Blanchet. I've been involved with the station here. Everybody talks about diversity programming, but nobody really knows what the statistical facts are. Mm-hmm. I have compiled this information here in Berkeley, and I suggest you do the same thing elsewhere in the network. That's a very basic place where to start. That's all I have.
Okay.
Would you work with us on that project?
Thank you.
Max, would you work with us on that project? Would you extend your services to this committee?
I have already started. I have developed a model for others
to
follow.
Thank you. Okay, Johnson.
What everybody kept saying during this process, which was 3 days, there were about 30 people. We met about four or five different meetings, is that the whole solution is the dialogue itself. You have to understand. So all you have to do is facilitate using the signal. Everybody kept saying, we should have this meeting on air. This is really the key. This is not a bureaucratic, we're not asking for a bureaucratic solution. We're asking for a process solution, and we already know what to do. You just have to allow people to communicate with each other in a safe environment and use the signal. The key is the signal. That is the whole thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Gregory Wonderwheel here. I'm not part of this the working group, but I felt compelled to make a comment. Everybody comes from a different personal background here. I'm hearing the word white bandied around, and I feel that is a racist term. The term is created by those who would put forward white supremacy to divide people. And when people use the word white and say white folks, whatever, that is just as racist as a term. And I think if we want to go forward with this diversity talk, we have to create a new language that will get rid of those divisive terms in that way and recognize that all people who have one light skin color are not just whites. Thank you.
Okay, and final.
I'm Kwasi Nkrumah. I'm the vice president of the lab in L.A. It was interesting to note the confusion about what to do with this proposal, because the proposal itself is as fundamental as the discussion around the bylaws, for example. And the process for it should parallel that. I'm glad that it seemed that the National Committee came to that conclusion toward the end of the discussion. But I also wanted to say that I'm pleased that the group produced this. There is leadership of color within the Pacifica community that played a very pivotal role in this happening. And there was leadership on both sides, as was pointed out by Janice, that made it possible to synthesize that. And that's a tremendous strength. I also am glad that our listeners in the listener areas heard this dialogue, and I hope that they'll show some initiative in carrying forward on the discussion.
Yeah, here.
Thank you. So, again, I want to thank everybody, the board and everybody who contributed, especially those who put together the proposal and help us focus on this critical item. It's now 11:05. I do want to move ahead into the bylaws discussion. Now, we are in a little bit of a jam up here. We initially scheduled 3 hours to talk about this. We're going to have to narrow that down to probably about 2 hours. The problem that we're facing, or the reality that we have before us here, is that this body, the Interim National Board, We'll, at the end of this process, not today, but at the end of this whole process, have to vote. We're going to have to make a decision, along with, for certain parts of the bylaws, the labs around the country. This body, as a body, has not had any discussion about the substance of the bylaws. All we've talked about so far is the process. So we need time today. I know everybody here with us today has a lot of thoughts. I also have a hunch that many of you, most of you in this room today, have also been quite involved in the local bylaws revision committees. I'm not saying every single one of you, but I have a hunch that a lot of you have been quite involved. We need some time in this next two-hour period or so to really sink our teeth into this. And we will, obviously, there are some process issues related to this also in terms of the next steps. So what we had thought about doing was opening up with a short presentation from each of the five. Yeah.
Can I just get a clarity on what that 2 hours will entail? Because I see here that the five area bylaw revision committees will get 15 minutes.
No,
each.
I want to suggest that that be much tighter.
Yeah, and then the community comment period is 45 minutes.
No, and actually I want to change that. I want to go from the bylaw, from the reports on the five committees in like 5 to 7 minutes each. You know, really try and tighten it up, get to the most important issues, then move right into board discussion, and then we could open it up for some community comment. But I think the bulk of the time here needs to be among the board to talk about this. We do need to have time within this, again, to talk some about the process, where we go from here on out. And included in that is we need time to talk about the proposals. We've seen many variations on it that would call upon patients to do regular programming about this whole process, about these issues also, you know, as part of the process. So can we start with the five city reports? Again, each of the five listening areas set up a committee, and that the members of this interim board in those cities were, I don't know if every single person, but many of us have been actively involved in those discussions. So I think we should probably start that way. Carol,
yeah.
You want to open this up?
Let me
just say also, Carol has been serving as the kind of national coordinator for this whole process. I want to thank you, Carol, for doing that work.
Yeah, thank you. In March, we agreed that in each of the five signal areas, there would be subcommittees that with a national board member and at least two lab members on it, and as many community and staff members as wanted to come, would come and brainstorm. And that's been going on in Berkeley as well as the other five station areas. In Berkeley, we've met 10 or 11 times. I have to say, I want to give an overview as the chair of this committee that I am absolutely thrilled with the numbers of ideas that have come up, both specific and general. I think that envisioning new bylaws for Pacifica is enriched by all of this discussion, everybody putting their thoughts out there, the crazy ideas and the wonderful ideas. You can't get there without sparking off of each other. And there's nothing crazy in this discussion, by the way. That was a misnomer. I mean, you know, the brainstorming has been absolutely inspiring, and I've been following it closely in all areas, and it's been great. In Berkeley, because our starting place under this settlement agreement is the, quote, the Berkeley model of how to elect labs, and because we've done it for 2 years, we're comfortable with that, so we didn't start there. Looking at that and analyzing it, we said, yeah, we like that. Let's keep doing it. Maybe it could be tweaked a little bit to be made a little better here and there. But it wasn't very controversial on the Berkeley subcommittee. So what we did was we started by zooming out and looking at the structure of the Pacifica Foundation as a whole and saying, how could you structure a national organization, as Rob likes to say, a foundation with a national component and five local radio stations and archives, How could you structure that so that it would actually work? Because it was our conclusion we've had bad governance for a very, very long time, and we want to get to good governance. So I would say that our committee overwhelmingly believes that the governing power of the national board needs to be delegated to local boards that are close to the scene, close to the action, that know what's happening inside the stations. I know as a board member, I don't listen to any of the other four stations, and I don't know your community, so it's pretty, I think, perhaps inappropriate for me to sit on your governing board. So our view was that the authority of a board of directors should be delegated to five local committees of the board that would be the local station boards, subject to override of the national board and oversight, so that the local boards would be could be overruled by the national board if need be, and all the legal authority would still reside in the national board. But that we create five local boards that have the authority, policy-making authority of a board of directors as to station managers matters, including budgeting, policies, reviewing programming direction for mission fulfillment, making recommendations, things like that. And we also proposed that the local committees or station boards would have to have two board members, national board members on them, each one of them, so there'd be overlapping membership. And also we proposed to integrate Pacifica because we think the national functions of Pacifica are extremely important. The national needs to develop our national programming and our national presence as a progressive media, that we need to strengthen the national also, and that can be done by forming a series of interlocking committees of the national and local boards. So, for instance, the finance committee would have members of the national and local boards on it. The programming committee would have members of the national and local boards on it, and so forth, so that every committee, standing or ad hoc, would have members of local and national boards on it, so that we're really integrating and working together, not working in counterpoint to local, much better local oversight, having a real integrated system so that when we're working nationally, we've got all of our people working together, talking to each other, and moving on things through dialogue that's built up together. That's the overarching proposal. We support basically the KPFA model that we started with. That is local boards that are elected by the members of the Pacifica Foundation, the members being the listener sponsors as defined in our document. It's anybody who contributes $25 a year or volunteers 3 hours per year to the station is eligible to vote, and we would make those people members who would elect their station board members and staff members. Staff members we define as anybody who's paid to work for Pacifica or who is an unpaid worker who regularly does work at the station. Our board is made up of 8 staff elected seats and 14 listener elected seats. We would recommend that ratio or something near about that continue. Yeah, roughly a third, a third staff elected or a little more, 51% or more listener elected. That be the mix of these boards. And we recommend there's some debate about whether or not national boards should be elected directly by the listeners or by the local boards. Our committee, the majority of them, and I can't say that we were a huge representative section of the whole signal area, but our committee came down on the local board electing the national board from members of the local board. The reason for that was that the local board would develop clearer insight into where other the people they work with are coming from, really, and whether they do the work. You know, a lot of us are good at talk, and some of us don't do much about it. So serving on the local board together would give us a way to evaluate who would be of best service to the foundation in electing them to the national board. We also would like to see both staff people and listeners on the national board as well as the local board. And we have diversity criteria at KPFA. We gave ourselves a little wiggle room out of the listener-elected seats, which are 14. We set a minimum of 6 and a maximum of 8 should be women and people of color. Our recommendation is to take the ceiling off so there's no maximum and change the minimum to 50%. That's the recommendation is how we would change it. I know other models were discussed in other areas. We did not spend very much time talking about constituency models. Our group was virtually unanimous in opposing any appointed seats, but very supportive of creating seats on the national board for an organization of the affiliate stations of Pacifica to help us work together with the affiliates. So that was the one exception to the no appointed seats, that we think the affiliates should be able to appoint some seats. It was a very wonderful process, a great group of people worked together in harmony. I think maybe a lot of the fear around elections, which was very strong at KPFA 2 years ago, has receded because we've successfully done 2 elections. And we have a wonderful, absolutely wonderful local board now, active. They want to be there. They show up at meetings. They're doing all kinds of things. And so we think we have demonstrated that the model works. And we think that the key to success is, as far as diversity, is one, having a minimum number. We really have to make that commitment. We believe in it, of women and people of color. And then having the local board and everybody in the community, but a committee of the local board has to be on it, doing the outreach to make certain that we have a diverse candidate pool so that we have candidates who will come forward and run for seats on these boards. I think, is there anything I need to do to sum up? We're very committed to democracy at KPFA. We think we've done a great job with it. I think we should be very proud of our local board now. And we think it'll work for the rest of the network. We have, I have profound faith in the listeners. Over the last 3 years, I've heard from listeners around the country. I have 10,000 of them on my email list, and they write to me. And people think, oh, it's just KPFA, that you can trust it at KPFA. I want to tell you of my 10,000-person list, 3,500 are KPFA listeners. The rest of them are scattered around the country through the affiliates, New York, L.A., Washington, D.C., and Houston. And all around this country, there is deep, widespread, committed, passionate support for our mission, and I think that we can elect wonderful, vibrant, creative boards doing this.
Okay, thank you. All right, who's next?
I had a quick housekeeping.
Okay, I'm sorry, housekeeping.
Hi, Pete Bramson from Berkeley. Chandra, can you stand up, please? We have shuttles going to San Francisco and Oakland airports. If anybody in the audience needs assistance, please see Chandra. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we hear from L.A.?
Thank you, Leslie.
Hey, L.A.
Well, Southern California. Now, as of today, those of you in Southern California who are listening to this broadcast, who tuned in to a hitherto Mexican classical station, well, now you're listening to Pacifica Radio, friends. Welcome.
Here, here.
thank you. The KPFK Bylaws Subcommittee has met 12 times, with attendance ranging from 20 to 90 people. The typical attendance has been approximately 35 people. All the venues we used were fully accessible, and most of the meetings were on Sunday afternoons, although some were on Thursdays and one or two Saturdays. Each of the meetings was announced on the air and via email and the otherwise on the Internet and posted, some with more notice than others. There has been no on-air discussion of the bylaws process except for, I believe, through Pacifica Matters, which was aired in Los Angeles in Southern California, and at this meeting, and maybe a few other instances where it was discussed on various shows, but it's not been an organized effort. We intend to begin that as soon as possible. We've been very busy developing awareness amongst the people in the listener areas, the signal area, and each meeting began with an orientation to the history and structures of Pacifica Foundation, and then to eliciting and evolving ideas as to what the structural features were desired in developing the models for the new structure of Pacifica. Of course, the meetings were often very lively, as Pacifica, and many people only attended a small number of meetings, whereas others attended most or all of them. We held the meetings in different parts of the signal area in hopes to get as many different people involved as possible. I personally felt this did not seem to cause much variation in who attended, but some. The structure of the meetings was very open, although I, as a national board rep, did facilitate most of the meetings, with some or less, more or less satisfaction or not. Other facilitators also were used, and literally everyone was given an opportunity to participate. The agendas of each meeting were generally approved by the group, although, of course, at times there were efforts to reopen or alter the agenda. Once the meeting was underway, we did get some work done. After the first eight meetings or so, we started to winnow out ideas. Because the first meetings were just getting things on the table to get the ideas from the people that were concerned about it. And we got a lot of great ideas and concerns. And we tried to ascertain what ideas had the greatest resonance among the activists and listeners attending, all while still allowing for the presentation of new ideas by new attendees and others. Consequently, there appeared at times to be decisions which were inconsistent with prior ones. However, the end result has been some identification of preferred structural features and some models. Unsurprisingly, one of the most consistently preferred structural aspects was for a local governing board or local station board. Also very commonly accepted were such things as staggered terms to ensure overlap of electees, the right to recall electees, that candidates be subscribers or otherwise qualified to vote themselves, and there was a strong feeling amongst those attending that there be no, quote, appointed, unquote, or self-selected seats within the national local boards. Other items included that there be broadcasts regularly to apprise listeners of the bylaws discussion and, of course, to apprise listeners of what's going on in Pacifica, that the folio be mandated, that all budgetary information should be regularly and readily available to the public, that each signal area must have a programming council, that candidates should sign a pledge to the Pacifica Mission, and an interesting one, that subscribers not automatically be voters, rather that each subscriber be called upon to indicate, perhaps by checking a box on a return card, if they wish to be deemed a voter. There were some anecdotes of you know, someone subscribing four times and putting their dog's names down there, and then the dogs apparently got votes. And, you know, I'm not speciesist, but there is a problem with that. The general board models were identified on June... The three general board models were identified on June 16th as having broad support. Now, there were votes taken on these, but in a group of about 35 people out of a single area, which at least until yesterday was about 220,000 listeners, that's questionable as to the strength of it, but I will identify the three chief models that attained popular support amongst that group. One had direct election of local and national board members, with each single area electing a specific number of seats to the national board. Another model provided for the direct election of local boards, with half the national board being elected directly by single area, and the other half selected by the local boards. And another model provided for the direct election of local boards, wherein the local boards would in turn elect the national board members from their ranks. Other issues were raised which had great resonance among the attendees, including things such as the need to achieve diversity of all sorts throughout the foundation and on the boards, diversity in programming. The issue of ascertaining who actually votes is, of course, a complicated one, potentially. Whether to include as voters people who might not be subscribers and how. Ensuring that affiliates gain seats on the national board was a very strongly resonant issue. Identification of web listener sponsors through signal areas instead of as general members nationally. Issues of how members of programming councils are to be selected, how and whether to grandfather, that is, to roll in lab members into the new local governing boards was an important issue that was discussed, but of course no resolution was achieved. How members of labs will be determined in the event of local governing boards being extended, because we'll still need local advisory boards under the FCC and CPB, and also that there may be, even without CPB constraints, there is certainly a relevance to having local advisory boards. Board term lengths and limits were discussed, and no solid, I think 3 years was discussed a lot, but there was no solid finding on that. And the charting or reporting of board votes by member was considered important for accountability purposes. There's many more issues which have been discussed, but for which a sense of broad support one way or the other has not yet been crystallized. And I'm sure I omitted quite a few additional important ideas, and I apologize. I'm sure I'll be corrected soon. The KPFK Bylaws Subcommittee has been, by and large, quite collegial and civil. It's been productive and very committed to the rebirth of Pacifica in a democratic and accountable model. It's my hope that with some narrowing of the topics and a focusing of the goals of the committee, and, of course, greater discussion of the issues on the air where all of our listeners reside, the committee will proceed and continue to be productive, and hopefully we can have the elections on time. So there.
Okay, thank you. Okay, why don't we move to Texas, KPFT, moving across the country.
This is George Barnes, in Houston. We've worked very hard, and we have finished answering our questions. Carol's questions. I have pushed the... I'm the chairperson from our single area, and in trying to push the authority back down to the locals, I would like for a local to address this issue. And Ted Weisskopf has worked very hard on this issue, and I think he'd be good to address him as a TV overview.
Okay, great.
There are a number of people here in Houston who have participated in this process and have found it to be so exciting that they have, for a variety of reasons, come to this national board meeting. Our chair, Deb Shafto, Greg Gieselman, Michael Pimentel, Deb Campbell, Dwayne Bradley, our station manager, Ken Freeland, George Ryder, and I hope I haven't left anybody from the Houston group out who has been involved in this thing. We have had meetings weekly since the national board meeting. Attendance has been somewhere between 12 and 25, if my recollection is correct. And I've asked people at our post-meeting meetings, which have oftentimes gone from when our meetings ended, we started around 7, we'd go till about 10:30, and then we would go to a neighborhood restaurant and go till about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning, just sort of decompressing or talking more about this issue. And most of us have felt that this is probably the most exciting form of anything we've ever done in terms of political activism in our lives, that we sort of feel like we are helping to build a new nation, not just building a new Pacifica. One of the reasons that I think that we have been able to go as long as we have for some meetings, one which went till after 3 o'clock in the morning, was because food is accompanied by each of our meetings, which I share with you that because it might be useful to you if you get antsy about going long. Maybe that might be helpful to some of the other groups. It's always been vegetarian, so you might applaud that as well. And that makes it cheaper as well. Okay. One of our first or second meetings was very difficult because we didn't have a knowledge of how to resolve these issues in terms of vote. Was it consensus and unanimity? Was it majority vote? And what we finally resolved was that we were going to submit to Carol and the Otero Spooner and her committee, I guess, is our votes. So we have given X number of votes and descending votes so that there's a sense of the various feelings on the matters. We have been kind of caught up on the question of the issue of budgeting, hiring and firing of station manager, and programming issues, and whether or not those issues are to be decided at a local level or in consort with the national board. I think our reports will reflect on that, on those issues, but we haven't locked them down with any adamant or refined decision. On the issue of diversity, that is one of the 18 bullet points that we have not completely resolved, but in informal conversation on that issue, members of our committee who are of color have frequently spoken out against the idea of mandates. They have spoken in favor of certainly a strong grassroots committed effort to bringing people of color onto committees, the local advisory board, and the national board, but as a result of their quality, their integrity, and not because of any artificial mandates. Their very strong feeling is that they want to be a part of this process, but without the mandates. I'm repeating myself. This whole process almost reflects what we envision as the future of Pacifica, with committees doing a lot of the hard work. George, in allocating this time to me today, speaks to the fact that we have involved people who have come from the grassroots. They have made a commitment to the mission of Pacifica, and that has been the standard for involvement in this process. And what we are saying throughout this is that we want this not to be the end, but the beginning of involving people at the group's level in setting the direction of Pacifica for the future, vis-a-vis programming, vis-a-vis community outreach, and a myriad of other issues. One other very important and my final point is a point relative to the issue of this book that I happen to have in my hands, Robert's Rules of Order. And this may come as a surprise to you, and if you, it has to do with how you end debate in these committees. And according to Roberts, and that's what we have followed, is in committees, you cannot move the previous question. A two-thirds majority cannot end the debate. The debate must be ended when everybody is finished arguing their points, no matter how many times they want to do it.
Thank you.
And believe it or not, within our group, whether it was 12 or 24, we have always been able to do this effectively and not go on and on. And if I say any more, I will be going on and on and on.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's move to the East Coast, WBAI. I don't know if Janice is ready.
Visible.
Okay. Okay. My name is Janice K. Bryant from New York City. And Ray LaFore and I are co-chairs of that local bylaws revisions committee. I'm going to talk about the structure of the way we've been doing things, and Ray's going to talk about content. And that leads me to the first point, is that Ray and I sort of, our roles have evolved. Ray does the agenda, I chair the meetings. He does most of the liaison work in terms of talking with the listener activists, and I do the carts, you know, that play on the air. And I've been occasionally derelict in my duties, but generally I am able to get them done. We meet each Tuesday, and we have about 20 to 50 listener activists who come. We generally meet at Ray's, he's a labor activist, so we meet at his office in downtown New York. We have had one meeting in New Jersey, and we have had one meeting in Brooklyn. We plan to have more out within the communities. And one of the most productive sessions we've had, I think the most productive, was a Saturday all-day session. It was sort of like a retreat. We got lots of work done, and we actually got long that day, so I really sort of look to that as the standard that we want to try to keep going with. And we plan to have some town hall meetings, and I'm hoping that's one reason some of us really were pushing for the outreach coordinator, because that's going to help this bylaws process if we can have someone who's going to bring other communities into our each, you know, into the actual heart of the Pacifica family in each signal area. So we do need outreach in bringing in underrepresented folks. And also, this is where some of our discussions and rather heated discussions have been about race. That's what I was saying earlier about how we have been discussing race and diversity. We also have had some radio programs. We haven't had a whole lot of trouble, even though some people think we haven't had enough. We have had shows on the air, different times of the day, different days of the week, and we plan to have more. Ray and I have worked with a local, the chief engineer at WBAI. His name is Dred Scott Keys, and he's really pushing for a listener show. Now, we're going to have more shows, and most people know, just, you know, in all fairness, keeping the record straight, I'm one who's really wondering if we need to have as much time on the air about governance as lots of folks are saying we do. I don't know how many people are really interested in it. And one thing I'd like to hear is from people who aren't here what they're thinking about this whole weekend of, you know, a board meeting, and that's what they've been hearing. And I'm going to try to get to Wake Up Call on Tuesday and ask Bernard to open up the lines and see what people are saying who listen to this, whether they really want to hear more governance, because I'm just not sure. I know that people here really do love it, and it's, you know, they're hardcore, and they want to hear even more. But we want to get out and find out what the other listeners are saying. So I want some feedback from other people who have ideas to find out what folks in the hinterlands who don't like to come to meetings, what they feel about listening to governance more than what they've been hearing. Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Ray.
Yeah. Ray LaForest, as Gianni said, we started this process. I found it to be exhilarating, sometimes painful, particularly at the beginning. Recently, though, very often our role has been one of mediating and preventing clashes that go beyond, that would interfere with the work. Tremendous amount of learning has taken place, and I can tell you, personally, I've learned tremendously. I think this is a great opportunity. This is a vital opportunity for us to reach out to the community to discuss issues that are concerning our future, and I want that process to last as long as possible. Janice and I don't see eye to eye on the question of not only of the importance but of the interest. Well, maybe not the importance. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but certainly about the interest of the public. Some of the fight we had originally stemmed from the reason that some individuals knew a tremendous amount of, you know, about these questions, and some others who maybe didn't agree with them on some other political issues felt threatened and kind of blocked, vetoed. Now, as we learn more, the level of discussion has risen tremendously. And actually, the last meeting we had was in Brooklyn, and I could see really the difference between the work that we do regularly and the kind of discussion we had in Brooklyn where we started from scratch again. As Janice said, we've had 5 shows on the air, and Dred Scott is a tremendous engineer and producer, and he has been a major force in this process. I'm looking forward to, we were interrupted by the fundraising activities. We're supposed to start again as soon as possible, I hope. Now, I've met with Bernard White, and we have agreed that after each one of our meetings, we'll be allowed 15 minutes on Wake Up Call, which is really one of the most listened to programs in the morning. Drive time at WBAI, and we hope to talk to Amy and see if we can also get this message across. He has agreed to facilitate a meeting between us and the producers at the station to really impress upon them the need for them to be part of this process, to owe it, to provide time, besides the work that Janice and I are doing formally, to offer precious time, I understand, at various moments of the day to have people who have been involved in this process discuss it at length, get a variety of opinions, and do it to a different time of the day to make sure we all are involved. I'm urging everybody from New York who are listening here today to pay attention, to participate in this process. You can reach us through Concerned Friend of WBAI at 800-825-0055. And finally, I'd like to say that for the producers who've been reluctant, who think that this is boring, dead time, I can tell you that every show we have done, every single one of them, every single light on the board has been lit and did not go off practically until we announced we would no longer take calls. Now, sometimes people want to talk about programming rather than specific bylaw issues. However, I think this is something that is vital to us, and we should make it as interesting as possible. But this is part of education that will carry us into the future and assure democracy and participation in the system.
Thank you. Okay. So let's just let them, we'll get the report. Okay, Rob, are you starting off?
I'm going to start off and then turn it over to Jabari. Our committee meets every Thursday at 7:30 at WPFW on Champlain Street. We began our early meetings with about 20 or 30 people showing up from time to time. We have a core group now of about 15 that have been working on the bylaws. I have a draft that we finalized last Friday. We'll probably make some changes. I'll give it to Carol today. Some of the rationale points that I'll mention of what we've done so far. Our feeling is that the bylaws should be concise and flexible. Our feeling is that they should articulate a basic governance structure that provides for updating and change on a regular basis. One of the fundamental concerns we have with our group is that these bylaws must be augmented by operating guidelines and procedures that the governing board adopts that describe how they will fulfill their fiduciary responsibilities and the processes by which they do that. In other words, we don't want to see the governing board fall into the same habits in the past where committees didn't meet, minutes weren't kept. We want to make sure that we define in writing the processes and the decisions that the board will make on a routine basis. We do not think that those documents and those processes belong within the context of the bylaws. We think that they should be adopted by resolution by the governing board. We do not rule out the notion that the board may choose to devolve governance for local station activities, but we do not do that in the context of this bylaw draft. We feel that it is more important for the bylaws in discussing structure and general responsibilities and duties of the board, powers and authorities, as it were, to describe what are the things that the board should do rather than to deal with things and events that the bylaws would like to see prevented. We think it's more important to tell the governance structure what its job is than to talk about things that it doesn't want to occur. We believe that not only should the listeners elect the local advisory board members, we believe that they should also elect the representatives to the national governing board. In terms of the operating guidelines that we talked about, we're very concerned in working with our other committee, the elections committee that's chaired by Mariama Orange that's here today, because we're very concerned that the regulations that deal with nominations, registration, campaigning, education and information, and the actual election process need to be stipulated very, very, very clearly. But we don't think that all that goes in the bylaws. We just create a platform for the democratic elections there. We also create some formal structures that discuss things like program councils, the other formal attributes of governance that exist. We, in talking about the elections, also one point, overwhelmingly the people of color on our group are in favor not so much of quotas and constituencies, but we are concerned because our signal goes into multiple media markets that we have geographic representation from the Baltimore area as well as the Washington area and the Northern Virginia area that kind of reflects the way the universe of listener subscribership exists within the station. In other words, although the station is clearly a Washington, D.C. station, because we have significant listenership and support in Baltimore, we want to make sure that those listeners are represented on the local advisory board. To us, it's of concern that is one of the basic elements in composing the membership of the local advisory boards. We also discuss non-radio activities and the importance of the fundamental mission as found in the Articles of Incorporation for Pacifica. I'll turn it over then to Jabari.
Okay. This is Jabari Zakia. It's some additional concerns were that there was an inversion in the process to create the bylaws, that the first really what is needed is a clear understanding of the mission, a tangible understanding of the mission before you can write bylaws to create a structure that would produce the mission. And lately there's been a growing recognition that this bylaws process, which includes the election, can't be shoehorned within the remaining 6 months of this year to do it right. And we feel this is more of a sense to get the thing done right than to get the thing done quick. So we foresee that this whole process will probably need to be extended and should be extended, and it can be extended because the settlement agreement allows for extensions of time period to do it. But many people felt that it was probably unfeasible for it to be done, because just from the point of the election, there's so many logistics that deal with the election. How do you identify members? How do you record members? How do you register members? In what listening areas? How do you get funding to run the election? Does that come local? Does it come national? How do you perform the elections? Are they one day, one week, one month, electronic, paper ballot? Do people come into the station? Just around the issue of elections, there's a whole set of logistics issues that just we have not seen dealt with just in the Washington area. But if you're going to hold a national board elections, which cover all the station, all the whole network, and then, of course, people can vote in elections potentially who aren't a member of any station area. You can have people who donate money over the Internet, or international members who hear the signal over the Internet and donate. And all of these issues started to come into the process of actually conducting a formal election. So these are some of the additional issues that started to come up once we started to actually get into the detail of actually implementing these things.
Hey, thank you. Carol, and then I want to...
One thing that I should have mentioned is over the course of the discussions, it became clear to me, and I think as our committee met, that we need to be very clear about the distinction between governance and management. Mm-hmm. And that what we're not talking about is electing management teams for the stations. And so as we evaluated a number of proposals, we thought, well, you know, those things are things that could be adopted by a board that are policies and procedures or operating manuals or guidelines for management, but they aren't talking about a governing structure. And so we tried to get very clear about that, and are hoping the whole country will get clear about that. And the other thing I did want to say is the platform of how to run an election we didn't discuss, because we've done it successfully twice and it's found it quite easy. The station has the membership list. The ballots are prepared and delivered to the station mailing house and mailed to the list. We do it with a 30-day return time. So the ballots go out, and 30 days later, those have been returned or counted. So we haven't found it technically difficult to do if it's done by station area. I think that there are listeners out there who listen on the net who may not live in the station area, but generally when they call in, they probably call KPFA number when they're listening to KPFA on the net. There may be a few people that we would have to ask to identify what station area they wanted to vote in, but that technically we've kind of worked out the kinks here.
If I could call myself for a second, I have several concerns. I mean, some have to do with the process of this whole thing, and some have to do with the substance. So let me just say in as quick as I can. One is that I just want to underscore again what Rob said and what Carol just said and other people said too, that what we're striving for here is a set of bylaws that describe our governance structure, and that this is not an operating manual, this is not a management manual, and we really do need to reinforce that, I think, in the conversation. I know I've been to as many of the New York meetings as I have been able to, not all of them, but as many as I can, and that I've come away somewhat concerned that at some points in the discussion, people were trying to imagine every single scenario that might possibly unfold, and let's have a bylaw that addresses that. And it just isn't realistic, even if we could imagine every single scenario, which we can't. So I just want to underscore my total agreement with that this is not a management structure that we're putting together, or this is not the operating guidelines or policy manual, whatever. This is the governance structure that we're trying to describe. I am concerned I'm not totally clear about what people's vision of delegating governing powers to local boards means, what it will translate into. I am concerned, and I'm not saying that the local board should have no power. I don't think maintaining local advisory boards as they've been in the past makes sense. That's something we're beyond, right? We're moving out of that. I do think greater authority does need to be in the hands of the local boards. But I am concerned. I'm concerned about the end of this process, that we end up with a structure that gives us five very strong stations. In terms of how they're structured and what the governance process is, and that we've inadvertently gutted the national organization. Not by design, not on purpose, but that's what we would end up with. So for me, it's a question, and it's come up in other ways over the weekend too, of power sharing. How do we have local boards and a national board that work together, that share? And I think coming out of what I heard Carol was saying about the Berkeley discussions, there was some of that in there about, like, interlocking committees. Some of that speaks to this power sharing. But that's a concern I have, that we not end up, again, with five strong local structures and a weak national structure. The other thing I just wanted to comment on very, very quickly is, in terms of it's more of a process-related thing, is that I'm a little concerned, again, largely based on my experience in New York, and I seem to hear this from the other cities too, that this is uneven around the network, but generally that not enough of the lab people are actually involved in these conversations and in these discussions, and also staff, paid and unpaid programmers. They won't have a vote at the end of the process, but they're going to be impacted by what we do here. And they need to be part of the discussions also. So anything that we can think of to do to encourage the non-paid programmers, the paid staff, and the labs to be directly involved in this process, I think will serve us well in the end. Okay.
I'll be brief. I talked to some programmers here at KPFA yesterday, and I talked to programmers in D.C., not in D.C., in BAI often. And I think we just need to put it on the table that one reason staffers aren't coming around is because they're sort of viewed as the enemy by some folks, or at least they perceive themselves as being viewed as the enemy. I don't know how we can get around that. And some of you might not agree, but that's what people tell me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how we can get around it. I don't know how we can make programmers feel as if they aren't pariahs. I don't know.
No. Okay, we have James, and then Rob, and then Carol and David.
I concur with your concern as it relates to the potential gutting of the national body because, to me, I view this almost as a states' rights issue. And unfortunately, from the Republicans, they would love this argument of directing all the power to the state, and in the meantime, narrowing the national impact. But I do believe there needs to be a strong national office and a national body that can basically oversee what goes on locally. So in so much that we are trying to develop the bylaws, we need to keep that as an overarching issue.
So. Okay, Rob Carroll Davis.
Just in view of that, one of the strongest members of our particular subcommittee is Ambrose Lane, who's a former board member, who's a former chair of our lab, who is a programmer at WPFW. He's a professor and an attorney, and has thought long and hard about this a great deal. And he's been very helpful because he has experience from every aspect of the family, it letting the members of our committee understand, you know, how you do bylaws for nonprofit organizations, and what we're going to try to do after we've gone through one or two more weeks of refining this is we're going to try to set up conference calls with some of the other subcommittees led by Ambrose and talk about a little bit about some of the dynamics that we've run into, and hopefully those discussions will help Carol and the board group move a little bit faster. We also have presented at least once our approach to the local advisory board, so they're not going to be surprised. They have participated. Some members of the local advisory board have not participated. But as you point out, the things that we need the labs to vote on so that we can finalize these things in accordance with the settlement versus some of the issues that the labs may have in general about governance or management are not necessarily the same. So the only way around that is to try to make sure that you present it to them far in advance, because the thing that always happens is if someone wasn't at the meeting, they're going to say we weren't consulted. So those are some of the things we're trying to do. Thanks. And the station people have been very, very helpful in announcing this. Once we're a little further along, we may try to do a program on Ambrose's show or work directly with Tony and Verna in producing something separate. But we felt it was better to go to the public with something that we could all explain as a group than to tell them that we were getting ready or in the middle of or fixing to do something.
Thank you. Let me just say, Carol, next. Somebody just handed me a note that said, reports are over, now it's time for the community discussion. Let me reiterate, because maybe who gave me the note didn't hear before. We need to have some discussion as a board. We will get back to time for your input, but right now we're on the board. So Carol is next. Carol? I'm sorry. Carol is next. I'm sorry. His mic isn't even on.
I've been very pleased with the fact that for 3 months, community members have been speaking and talking and making proposals, and I've benefited tremendously from all that input from listeners, and I'm sure the whole committee has. And we haven't had a chance to talk to each other. One thing I wanted to say, we haven't had any airtime at KPFA either, and that's been quite unfortunate. So we've had some lab participation, not as much as I had hoped. A couple of lab members, though, have been attending pretty regularly, and several lab members have attended at least one meeting. What we're doing is we're doing a briefing for the staff on July 11th, I think, and a briefing for the full lab on June 29th. The perception of staff, that people perceive them as the enemy, is one of the very deep and profound problems that faces KPFA. I did have announcements of the meeting forwarded to all staff, and because they didn't come, I inquired, well, what can I do? And they said, well, you need to hold a special staff meeting, which I'm really glad to do. And I'm also sorry that there was that perception, because I think if the staff members, more of them, had come to the meetings, they would have found that wasn't the case, that the committee wasn't talking about the staff members as the enemy. The committee was talking about how important it is to have staff and listeners on these boards so that staff rights can be protected, and so that we're talking to each other and we're not trying to move forward, leaving out. You know, boards tend to bond with management. If anybody's watched this or served on a board, boards talk to managers, get their information from managers, and decide how well the organization is functioning based on what the managers tell them. And every board I've ever worked on or seen